Good morning to everyone. Today is the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost. Today's epistle is from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians. Brethren, we are confident in the Lord Jesus that he who hath begun a good work in you will perfect it unto the day of Christ Jesus. As it is meet for me to think this for you all, for that I have you in my heart, and that in my bands, and in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of my joy. For God is my witness, how I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your charity may more and more abound in knowledge and in all understanding, that you may approve the better things, that you may be sincere and without offense, unto the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of justice, through Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Thus far the words of the epistle. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. At that time the Pharisees went and consulted among themselves how to ensnare Jesus in his speech. And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art a true speaker, and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou dost not regard the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what dost thou think? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? But Jesus, knowing their wickedness, said, Why do you tempt me, ye hypocrites? Show me the coin of tribute. And they offered him a penny. And Jesus saith to them, Whose image and inscription is this? They say to him, Caesar's. Then he saith to them, Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. As far as the words of the Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Come, Holy Ghost. And faithful in this epistle, St. Paul is expressing his apostolic zeal and his love for those to whom he preaches, the Philippians. He says the things that he hopes for all of them, that, and he prays for, is that their charity may grow, that they may truly have love in their hearts for God, and that that love may continue to increase. That's the first thing that he prays for them. Asks that God will help them to be full of the true charity. Their love towards God should grow. And this, of course, is the same for all of us. We should love the Lord God, and that love should continue to grow. And so we try to do that by thinking of God's goodness more often, and his patience with us, and his great desire to bring us into his kingdom so that we can enjoy the glory of heaven, and also his immense love that he bears towards each one of us. And this helps us to increase, or to start having some if we didn't have any before, some charity, right? So that's the first thing he asks. And then, and more and more abound in the knowledge and all understanding, that you may approve the better things. Now here, he asks that we have knowledge. So he starts with the charity, which is the love that we have to bear towards God, and then the knowledge of God, that we should truly know our religion. And not just say, yeah, I'm a Catholic, and somebody asks you a question about the Catholic Church, and you say, Old Testament priest, I don't know, you know. Well, you should know. There's no excuse for that. And of course, we have in our school, Our Lady Help of Christians Academy, we have our teachers teaching the Catholic religion to the students. And they learn their catechism And they know questions with their answers, and so they know their religion pretty well. And if someone asks them a question, most of them they can answer because of what they learned in school. And so also maybe it's not a perfect education, maybe it's not absolutely complete because you only have so many hours in the day and so much to learn, but we have also adult catechism for all of the adults and the teenagers who have been confirmed. And they should all be at that catechism every Sunday because there are things that they never learned. And especially if they weren't in our academy or didn't have some excellent catechism program when they were in school. And those things they can begin to learn in the adult catechism lessons. And for those who did have a good education, it is an opportunity to review what you have already learned, because we have a tendency to forget parts of it. And it's probably, you might conjecture that a person will forget 10% of what they learned every year, and if they don't review it or if it doesn't come up on their screen for a year, they're going to forget 10%, and then theoretically in 10 years they forget it all. And so adult catechism, so important, and especially when there's so much confusion about the Catholic religion and so much deception going on, you need to attend the adult catechism lesson if you are not doing something else of equal or greater value already. And even if you are, it won't hurt you. That starts after the low mass and goes on until a quarter after 9. So it's about 30 minutes. Then he says that you may approve the better things. In other words, when you make a decision of approval or to disapprove that which is no good, you will have the wherewithals in your mind. You will have this knowledge that you need to make the right decision. You will make bad decisions if you don't know the principles and you have the criteria and know right from wrong and good from bad and true religion from false religion. And so therefore, the result is that when you make your choices, you will make the right choices. And that is, of course, the key to salvation, with the faith. Without the true faith, we cannot please God. And then, that you may be sincere and without offense unto the day of Christ, meaning, of course, the last judgment. Sincere and without offense, meaning, of course, that you did your part. You studied what you should study. You knew what you should know, and then you decided what you should decide. And this word at the end, without offense, reminds us of the words at the end of the ceremonies of baptism. When the baby is being done, or the adult if it's an adult baptism, when he's done being baptized, there are two little ceremonies. First of all, the giving of the white garment. These days, the baby comes to the church wearing the white garment already. In the former times, they put it on only after the baptism. Now, this white garment is a symbol of the clean soul, the soul which has been cleansed from all sin by baptism. All sin and all the punishments that would have been due to those sins taken away, so that the baby, once it's baptized or an adult, has a perfectly clean soul and no debt towards God, other than the debt of gratitude and love that we all owe Him. No debt of sin or punishments. And then the priest says, and part of the words that he says, the formula of giving the white garment, he says, Receive this white garment. Never let it become stained. In order that when Jesus comes to judge, you will be invited into heaven and live there in the halls of heaven with all the saints. You tell the baby, and while the baby doesn't know what's going on, but the godparents hear it, and the parents, don't let this robe become stained. Keep it away from the contagion of sin. And this is what St. Paul says in this very epistle, that you may be sincere and without offense unto the day of Christ, which is judgment day, filled with the fruit of justice, doing those things and making those choices which are approved by God. And of course, refusing those things which are disapproved by God. Our choices we have to make by a love of God and a knowledge of what He expects from us. So those things are duties of all, for all of us, to love God with all our heart and to know what He wants from us and therefore be able to do what He wants from us. We will be judged according to our actions and our decisions. So then in the Gospel we see the enemies of Jesus who try to cross Him up, make Him say something that they can condemn Him for. The words of the beginning, they consulted among themselves how to ensnare Jesus in His speech. And they ask Him, first they flatter Him up one side and down the other just to show that they really do approve of what He says, and they would be totally surprised if He ever said anything that was wrong. But if He did, of course, they would stone Him or something, right? So, here they go and they ask Him, is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar? Now, they were trying to put Him in sort of a dilemma. One of the revolutionary undercurrents that was among the Jews was a resentment against the Roman government, which they were now under. At one point, the Roman government had run to the assistance of the Jews and fought a battle against their enemies. But the resulting thing was that they had to be then assimilated under the Roman government. And the Roman government had left them a kind of liberty to govern themselves. And they only demanded 2 points for the Jews. The first was that the Jews could not administer capital punishment. If anyone was to be put to death for their crimes, it would only be done by the Roman government. So the Jews had their own local government, and yet it was not free to use capital punishment. And the other point was that they would be economically dependent on the Roman financial system and therefore pay the taxes that were due to Rome, to the government of Rome, which was the king. When they called him a Caesar, it's just another name for a king. And the Jews resented it, especially the money part. You know, capital punishment, they didn't care, let them kill him, you know, it's all right. But the money part, you know, wait a minute now, money and Jews, okay, there's something about that. And so they're very good businessmen, and they know how to make profits and to do the very best possible as far as showing a great profit. And they love to do it because they're good at it. So, that's one thing they resented. And then, of course, the one thing they had to do, which they did not like, was to pay taxes to the conquering government, which was, of course, the Roman Empire. And it was something that if Jesus would say, you have to pay the taxes, it would make him very unpopular when they broadcasted this. Because as soon as they heard his answer, you have to pay taxes, they planned to publish it and to say, this teacher Jesus says you all have to pay taxes. And so therefore, you know, he's obviously not in favor of the Jewish nation and the freedom of the Jews, right? So that was the one horn of the dilemma. The other horn of the dilemma, obviously, was just the opposite. If he said, no, you don't have to pay taxes, then what would they say? They would say, oh, we better turn him into Caesar. He's a revolutionist, right? He's a public figure, and it's easy, very easy, for people to nail a public figure with whatever accusation they can come up with. That's one of the most dangerous things about being a priest, and become a public figure, and people can nail me, right? Very easily. All you have to do is start talking about me, and I'm nailed. Same thing with Jesus. And they tried to nail him. They wanted him to be accused as a revolutionist or as someone who is against the freedom of the Jewish nation. And so, of course, he saw their hypocrisy and exposed it, made them feel like fools. They did not believe he was the Son of God, some of them, and others who did believe, they somehow thought they could outsmart him. In both of the two positions, whether they believed they could outsmart him or they didn't believe he was the Son of God, are stupid positions, really stupid. Nevertheless, they tried it. And when you're full of hate and stupidity, it's very easy to do something stupid. So what happened then? They told him, is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? And of course, he'd called them hypocrites immediately. Why do you tempt me, you hypocrites? Because they were hypocrites because they themselves resented paying taxes. But they were ready to skewer somebody who said he wouldn't, or you're not obliged to. And that made them hypocrites because they would do whatever was convenient for them, even if they did not agree with either one in principle, or if they agreed with one in principle and did not agree with the other one in principle, they would use the other one anyway to hurt somebody else, to hurt Jesus in particular. And so he said, why do you tempt me, you hypocrites? And so the good Lord said to them immediately, show me the coin of the tribute. Let me see the money you have to give to Caesar. And they brought him a penny. They could not have brought him a smaller piece of money. Our pennies have Abraham Lincoln on them, right? One of the presidents, and they had the same kind of thing, their leader, the king, Caesar. And he said, now whose image and inscription is this? And they told him it's Caesar's. Well, they already told him the answer to their question. It's Caesar's? Well, then it's Caesar's. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. And then he added on, and to God the things that are God's. Very profound. They did not ask them if they should render something to God. But he told them anyway. What belongs to God, you give it to God. And what belongs to God? We do. You think of the story of Frankenstein. What happened in this story? A scientist took some dead body parts and sewed them all together and zapped them with electricity and came to life. But the thing was out of control. It went out and terrorized everybody. And who was responsible for that? Well, the doctor, the scientist who did it. It was his creation, more or less. So it was his baby. He owned the monster, in a way. Well, God owns us. He created us. We belong to Him. And just like a legitimate government mints its own currency, sends it out into circulation, and then calls it back in the form of taxes, so also God has minted us. We are God's money. He sent us out into circulation. He told, in another parable, the men who received his money to trade until I return. And two of them traded and showed a profit. The third one buried the money under a stump. And when his Lord came back, he dug it up and gave it back to him. The first two made profits. And they showed the prophet to the master when he returned. They were commended. The third one, who just buried it under a stump and did nothing, was condemned. And what does this mean? We are put out into circulation in this world for a short time. We just had a Saturday, 1 week ago Saturday, a man of the Fort Collins Parish died. This morning, Stella Real died. One of the days, you will die. That'll be the end of your circulation. During the time of our circulation in the world, we are obliged to pay tribute to our Creator. That is why it is obligatory to assist at Mass on Sundays and Holy Days of Obligation. Why do I have to be here today, or on All Saints Day, which is a Holy Day of Obligation, November 1st? Why do I have to be there? Because your Creator, who owns you, insists on it. He wants His tribute. If we do not pay Him His tribute, we'll be condemned. It's as simple as that. And here the world tries to teach us that we own ourselves, that we have the right to do whatever we please. Don't be an idiot. You came out from God, and you have to go back to God. And while you're out from Him, until the day that you are called home, or called on the carpet, more like it, you better show Him that you believe He owns you and you owe Him service. If we do not show Him that, we're going to hell. So in this gospel, He not only tells them that you pay your legitimate taxes, but He also tells them you better give tribute to God as well by keeping His commandments, by keeping your baptismal robe unstained. keeping it clean, washing it in the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, keeping it away from the dirt of sin. And by bringing out prophets, which are the good works that God expects from us, doing what God wants from us in this world. It's a short time here, very short. And we have just a little time to pay him some tribute. And we must get with it. That means, of course, doing our duties of religion. I mentioned already the Sunday obligation. There are other duties of religion. Daily prayers, your rosary, to study your religion. All these are duties before God. If we do these duties, we are paying tribute to God. And so it behooves the prudent man to arrange his life and his schedule in such a way that he leaves proper time to accomplish these things, instead of occupying himself with too many vain and useless things, which draw away his time from the service he owes to God. Let us be prudent and use some strategy and some planning so that at the end of our lives, we will show a profit to God and will bring him back the honor which he expected from us. And being satisfied will reward us with many times more, 100 times as much, and eternal life, the vision of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.